very much the tenor of Broncos free agency so far. Just chilling, man. Well, who'd you guys sign? Don't even trip. We're just chilling over here.
No, Will Lutz, man. He's giving us everything we asked for. All the excitement, the flipping, coming off the top ropes.
Hey, the grades are in, by the way, on the Jerry Jeudy trade. You asked me, and Matt Smith in for Zach Bye, you asked me last segment, Phil, what I thought about Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah.
Here's where I'm at. I think Broncos country has killed this guy, and rightfully so, right? I mean, he dealt with drops, bad attitude, and behind the scenes, from everything that I know,
yeah,
it was very dysfunctional. So, yes, you want to move on from him. I just think there's part of it where, hey, look, anybody who's catching balls from Bridgewater and Locke and Rippon and Wilson and go down the list, like, is that really the best judge of that guy's talent?
Oh, Zach. Yeah. You're talking about...
Zach would never have that take.
You're right. That's why I should know.
Yeah.
That's why I should know. But it's guess okay. what? Matt.
Don't worry. You can call me Zach as much as you want the next couple of days, and it's not going to bother me.
Matt.
Yeah.
Cortland Sutton had the same exact quarterbacks.
Yes, he did.
He's even had more than Jerry because Cortland was there longer than Jerry. But yet, Cortland was able to have a 1,000-yard year. Cortland was able to have one of his better years with Russell Wilson.
Sure.
Okay, Cortland Sutton, other than the year he blew his knee out, which I think that's kind of what hurt him from having better years.
Agreed, yeah.
Why are we sitting here trying to say we feel sorry for Jerry Jeudy when Jerry Jeudy was a first-round draft pick, 15th pick of the draft, okay, has had multiple opportunities. Matt, I was with Jerry. I've seen what they have done to tailor things to Jerry so that Jerry doesn't get upset.
Oh, I get you, Phil. No, I'm not defending him, and I'm not saying that I would have kept him by any stretch. I would have traded him at the deadline.
I would have too.
And to be honest with you, I hate to go back in hindsight and go, well, I would have made that move at the deadline. But that is one where it's like you didn't have many tradable assets at the deadline. I'm sure you had more than a fifth and then a sixth on the table. Schefter told Schlereth and I, a month or two ago, they were offered a third and a fifth at the deadline. Now, that's been a little disputed here or there. Regardless, you're 3-5 at that position.
Yeah.
The best you're probably going to do is purgatory. They would have been fine the back half of the year without Jerry Jeudy. So
I mean, they were still.
I know. Look, am I trying to bail him out? And the difference between him and Sutton, you just said, why did it not affect Sutton where it affected Jeudy? That's because when Jeudy got his opportunities, he didn't make enough plays. So I'm not saying that, but I also think that it's a little bit unfair. Just my opinion.
Because they've had
terrible quarterbacks, Phil. That's how. I watched Russ. He couldn't get an intermediate route.
Okay.
I watched Drew Locke.
Okay, you watched Drew Locke.
He overthrowing go routes.
You watched Teddy, but then you watched Cortland Sutton with Russell.
15-yard throws.
With Russell, though.
Yeah.
It goes the same way. I mean, Jerry Jeudy had opportunities to go out there and be the man, solidify the job.
For sure.
And he didn't take advantage of it. Now, do I think that he's a bad football player? No. I think Jerry's a very, very talented football player. Do I think that he needs somewhere else a fresh start?
Yes.
I think that he needed a fresh start. Maybe somewhere like the Browns, where you have someone like Amari Cooper, who's been in a situation where they went to Alabama, not together, but they went to Alabama. Amari Cooper's a great route runner, and he needs to be able to be humbled in the sense of saying, look, I need to find a way to be a better version of myself so I can get the best out of me.
Is receiver a dependent position?
No.
It's not?
No. You need help. You need help.
That's what I'm saying. Not independent. I'm talking about dependent. You're dependent on a quarterback.
Well, you're dependent, but so is anybody else.
No. Not to get the ball. The only way a receiver gets the ball is if the quarterback gives it to him. Typically, passing
the ball. Everybody depends on everybody. If the quarterback does not get the blocking from the offensive line, the running backs, the quarterback cannot make that read. If the receiver is not on time, Matt, a lot of the time with Jerry was there was not a lot of timing routes. Jerry Jeudy likes to make those moves.
Mm-hmm.
You only got 2.8 seconds to get that ball out as a quarterback. Now, if you're sitting here doing all that trotting and dancing and tangling, you're not going to get the ball on time.
Look, Jeudy didn't try when he wasn't the primary receiver.
Yep.
He didn't care about acting a decoy, and he wore his emotions on his sleeve.
Yeah.
When you're on a bad team, guess what? You really can't do that. You just can't, especially when you have high expectations. I'm just saying, if you think they've had good enough quarterback play around here to accurately judge any of the receivers that they've had, maybe. But see, the problem is you could say that, and then, hey, buddy, you're wide open. Catch a football.
Yeah.
Catch football. And he couldn't. All right, so the grades are in. What would you grade the Jeudy deal? They trade him for a fifth and the sixth.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if they would have traded Jerry when they had the chance in the regular season, I think they would have got probably a B- from me, right?
Mm.
I think this trade right here, where they get a fifth, like you said, fifth and a sixth?
Fifth and a sixth this year.
Maybe a C+. C+.
Because they also got rid of his cap hit, too, right? That was one thing.
Yeah.
We could talk about, hey, they only got a fifth and a sixth back, but Cleveland did take on his entire $13
million. Okay.
So at least you got that off the books.
So C+, B-.
You're on top of it, man. Right all over it. You said C+, B-. Well, or C+, B-. Is that what you
said? Like a C+.
Okay.
You know,
/B-.
Yeah.
They gave the Broncos a C, ESPN did.
Oh, okay.
A C. Here's what they said. The Broncos are bailing water out of a sinking ship this offseason. The team cut Russell Wilson, taking on his dead cap money, and Justin Simmons. Perhaps Peyton realizes he needs to tear the roster down to the studs in order to renovate it. And Jeudy was one of the few players on the team with legitimate trade market, you know, interest. Yeah, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, he does this. They give up all these picks. The point here is I think in hindsight, everybody looks at this move and goes, well, why didn't you trade him at the deadline? Mm. You definitely would have gotten more for him.
Yeah.
So this is another move where it's like you probably waited. You probably waited too long.
Well, it just goes to show you that Sean was intrigued by Jerry. Sean also helped pick up that fifth-year option. See, that wasn't just on George.
Mm-hmm.
George and Sean came to agreement to pick up Jerry Jeudy's fifth-year option,
sure.
Which I think Sean kind of fell in love with what he could be, what Jerry Jeudy could be in his offense. I think that's what he was envisioning, but he felt like Russ couldn't get him the ball, I guess.
I'm glad he's gone, Phil. You can't have that attitude in the locker room. You can't have that attitude on the sideline. You can't be dragged down by anything right now,
yeah,
because it's already going to be bad. So the last thing you need is negativity. Where does that leave Cortland to you? We saw him with the cryptic post,
yes,
after the season talking about, I thank you, Broncos country, for everything. And then, you know, when all those moves went down
Monday.
See,
what else he tweeted or posted? Well, he tweeted the Will Smith.
The Fresh Prince GIF.
Fresh Prince, yeah.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah,
if you look at his little bio thing, it says, what's next?
Mm.
And so I think for Cortland, and I've always said this, and I told Zach this, I think that Cortland has been already cashed out on Denver because of what they tried to do to him before the season started last year, or considered this year, where they tried to trade him to the Baltimore Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That ended up going through. They ended up going for OBJ, and I don't think they thought that Cortland was going to do the things he did this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that Cortland already held that grudge and was already like, I don't want to be here because you guys truly don't want me here. And then all of a sudden I do well, and now it's like, you know, you want to mend things, and I'm not willing to mend it. And now I think for him it's like, everybody is gone, and do I really want to be here for a rebuild? I've had the money. I got the money.
Right.
But I want to be able to win. I want to come out become a winner and come out a winner, just like Justin Simmons wants to do the same. So I think that Cortland does not want to be here. I think that they're going to try to find a way to trade Cortland Sutton in the draft. If we're going to tear it down,
No, they're shopping him. They're shopping him still. And I agree with you right there. If you're going to do it right.
Yeah.
It's time. It's been 8 years of not making the playoffs. This is something they needed to do a while ago, and you do have this dead cap hit. So you kind of have the excuse to go, well, look, I mean, we can't do anything else anyway. Yeah. So we might as well get some younger, cost-controlled foundational pieces in here. And I agree with you with Cortland. I would be looking to move him. I think they're in a really fragile position as a franchise right now. And there aren't going to be a ton of leaders in that locker room, at least established, experienced leaders.
We talked about it yesterday, Zach and I. Who is the leader of this team?
Sean Payton.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
Exactly what we said. That's exactly what I said.
Yeah, you can't have anybody in that locker room that isn't rowing in the boat with him. I think if you really want to change the culture, everybody's got to have their oars in the water at the same time,
yeah,
working towards a common goal. If you've got guys who are still kind of upset,
in and out,
yeah, you got to get rid. You got to get rid of them. I mean, you do. I'd probably be looking to move on from Cortland. It'd probably be best for Cortland. He'd go contend somewhere.
Yes.
Go maximize the final few years of his prime.
I still think the Baltimore Ravens would be a great fit for Cortland. I think that Cortland would thrive over there. And all of a sudden, they picked up Derrick Henry. Like, if you want to go out there and go to a playoff game and have a chance to go to a Super Bowl, then you have to be on a contending team, which could be the Baltimore Ravens, where the Ravens kind of did want Courtland. So I would not be surprised, okay, later on down the line, we get a trade and Courtland Sutton ends up with the Baltimore Ravens.
Michael Malone called out his team a couple of nights ago.
He did.
He did. He said, I had my dad over my shoulder talking about same old Nuggets. You always play well and then let go of the rope and give up the lead. Well, what do we think his reaction was to their effort in the first half last night? We'll break that down next. Don't be so quick to walk away. This me, I wanna rock your body. Please stay. This me, you don't have Matt Smith in for Zach Bye. Philip Lindsay in the house. At some point, these next couple days, we got to have a bit of a discussion about CU football. You know, I mean,
yeah,
it needs to happen. So we'll get there. We'll get there. Maybe when free agency dies down a little bit, we can get there for sure. I do want to talk about the Nuggets last night. 125-119 over the Raptors. And this, of course, on the heels of the Utah win.
Yeah.
Where they were outscored in the third quarter 44-24 after outscoring Utah 74-48 in the first half. Michael Malone was not happy after the Utah game. He said that he could feel his dad on his shoulder talking to him and saying, hey, this is the same old Nuggets. You guys get real comfortable with a lead and always give it up. And that pissed him off because you could tell he's got that ingrained in his head. Dad was always on the phone with him, you know.
Yeah, he values his dad's opinion.
Yeah, and for sure.
It's always in his head.
For sure. And so last night against the Raptors, you figure maybe the Nuggets come out with some sense of urgency, kind of like they did against Utah. Well, they sleptwalked through the first half. They played no defense.
Yeah.
None.
They were
down by what? As much as 22 in the second quarter?
Yes.
And then trailed by 17 at halftime. What was your take on how they responded to those comments after the game against Utah?
Yeah, I mean, my take was, now we're talking about the Utah game, right?
Yeah, where, yeah. How did they bounce back?
Well, at the beginning, they kind of did it. They started off strong, okay? Mm-hmm. And then they kind of let the Raptors get ahead of them. Right, just like the Utah Jazz, where they started off strong.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, the Utah Jazz start to find ways to come back because you kind of get bored with the process.
Right.
Okay, and Malone has said things like, you can't get bored with greatness. You can't be bored with the process. If you're supposed to dominate a team like the Utah Jazz, like the Raptors, you dominate the team, which then gives you more leeway to rest your players. In this case, you get out there, you start hot, then you kind of mess around. Okay, you don't want to be there. And you let a team continue to get back in both cases.
Mm.
And in both cases, they found ways to turn that switch on and dominate yet again. But it's like, as a head coach, you get kind of tired of having to do that and having to feel like you gotta motivate your team when we all know what's on the line, a two-peat.
This was Michael Malone after the game on the defense in the second half.
First half, we were on our heels. Midway through the third quarter, like I said, fellas, like, we can't trade baskets when you're down by 20. You know, something's got to improve. And then we finally got defense into the game.
That's true.
Mm.
But they were also running off of the defense. Turnovers, I mean, they're averaging, I think, almost 10 more fast break points after the All-Star break than they were heading into the All-Star break. Which means, hey, you know, we're starting to play smoother basketball. We're starting to do the things effort-wise that are required in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they did pick it up. Now, anytime a Nuggets team had been down at halftime by 17 points, they were 2-51.
It's not good for them.
Entering last night. Well, they pulled it off. They were able to get it done.
The champs.
Although I was reading that, and I just got to make sure this is true, that Grady Dick, who was the first-round draft pick out of Kansas for Toronto this year, he was the longest-tenured member of the Raptors that played last night. So
for
let's
real.
Just understand how much of a collage this team in Toronto is. It's just they're just trying to get through to the end of the year.
Yeah,
it's not a good team.
Out. They're cashed out, man. And that's another reason why it's like, come on, Denver. Like, this was supposed to be a game where you rest people like Jokic in the third quarter. Jamal Murray gets the rest. We get to see a lot more Peyton Watson, Christian Brown, those players like that. Zeke Nnaji, right? And you talked about that earlier where you can give them the ability to get some reps in there. We're going to need people. I keep calling Christian Brown and Peyton Watson double trouble because we're going to need those two young men as time goes on for these playoffs. Well, that was time for them to get a lot of reps, okay, a lot of time on that court. But then all of a sudden when you're having to come back against Toronto where there's nobody on the team, It's like, come on, y'all, just handle business when you're supposed to handle business.
I think that's part of what is so frustrating to Michael Malone. He would love to put the game out of reach midway through the third quarter so he could rest his guys later in the game. He doesn't feel comfortable with a 20-point lead. That's why we saw Jokic come back into the game late with 4.5 minutes left in Utah, or against Utah the other night. It was strange. Malone continued more about knowing this team having the sense that they know they could flip a switch.
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes down to been there, done that. Yeah, I mean, it's the one thing if you've never been down 20 and come back and won, you'd be like, oh, can we really do this? There's a little bit of doubt there. For our guys, I don't think there's any doubt at all. I think we know that we're always within striking distance when we defend as well as I know we can. And then offensively, you know, we're capable of putting up big, big numbers in a hurry.
This is the time of year when during a repeat attempt, human nature starts to creep in. Because think about the list of opponents like the last six games that the Nuggets played before Toronto and before Utah.
It was tough now.
Boston, Phoenix, Miami, L.A., Sacramento, Golden State.
Yeah.
Playoff teams. When you got to gear it down to play the Jazz and the Raptors, I could see human nature kind of settling in because one of the trends that they've had all year is they've kind of been... You know, we'll get to it. You know what I mean? Like, we'll get there
Which
in the second
understandable,
half.
Understandable, okay? Because you are just trying to find a way to get to the end. Get the postseason as healthy as possible. But you said something where you said gear it down. Why do you gear it down, though? You're still trying to fight for that number one seed. And I know that, you know, you don't think that, you know, we need it probably. And there's a lot of people that are like, we don't truly need the number one seed. But I think that Malone really truly wants that number one seed. And it's not going to hurt us to have that number one spot, home court advantage when it matters the most. I like having that number one seed. Why not? It's sitting right in front of us. Handle your business early and go and get it.
Especially at home against teams that you're supposed to be.
For sure.
That, I think, is where Malone is becoming a little bit frustrated with this group. It's like, hey, guys, you know, we're close. Let's just dial it in at the times that we need to.
Yeah.
You can't allow 44 points in a third quarter and expect to win a playoff game.
And they've been pretty strong in the third quarters.
Yeah.
From when they started the little six-game stretch with the Golden State Warriors, right? Third quarters were strong for them. Now, they struggle against the Suns in the third quarters, and it kind of bit them in the butt in the end.
And in the second quarter. Yeah.
And in the second quarter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, but overall, we all know that the Denver Nuggets can, you know, turn that switch on and be a dominant team offensively and defensively. They're doing a great job. The Peyton Watsons, that's why those young men are in the game. Christian Browns, they bring a spark, and it's specifically to the defensive side of the ball.
Three of the next four on the road for the Nuggets. They go to Miami next, then they're home to San Antonio and Victor Wembanyama, then they're at Dallas and at Minnesota, the first of three matchups with the Timberwolves, who are without Karl Anthony Towns down the stretch. I do believe it's going to be a two-horse race for the number one seed with the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Nuggets. I'm gonna put my money on the Nuggets to come away with the number one
definitely,
seed.
Most definitely.
No question about it. Hey, look, there's a ton of really good reaction on the text line. I want to get to some of these on the other side. We've got to take a look at who's left available on the board at quarterback for the Broncos, because that's a small list. And we'll determine if there's anybody that interests Phil next. You should take credit even if this wasn't you.
I mean, it was me, but it wasn't me.
This is Broncos country the last 8 years. I still haven't found what I'm looking for at the quarterback position.
Yeah, it's been a carousel of quarterbacks.
Matt Smith,
myself, man.
What? Oh, you were one of them.
Quarterback, man.
You were one of them.
They didn't want to pay me quarterback money.
No, they didn't, Phil. They didn't, Phil. You didn't get to throw a pass, huh?
They didn't let me,
man. How many snaps did you take actually at quarterback in that game? One?
No, I took a lot.
Did you take a lot?
Yeah, like, I got
a bunch of Wildcats.
I ended up getting hurt, man.
Oh, you did. That's
right.
Yeah,
man.
What a mess.
Messed me up.
4 years ago. 4 years ago. Because it was just anniversary of when all the sports and all the world shut down for COVID and all that.
Yeah, that was a crazy time.
Man. Craziness. Matt Smith in for Zach Bye alongside Phil Lindsay. A couple texts I want to get to on the RamosLaw.com text line. You two are ridiculous, says this texter. Oh, boy. Penix is skinny and injury-prone and not a pocket passer. Terrible over-the-middle accuracy and does not throw open receivers.
Not a pocket passer.
Yeah.
But he throws the ball 75% of the game.
Oh, wait. Now I get it. Because this is a McCarthy fan. Phil, you realize that JJ is the best pro-ready rookie in this year's draft. He's the only QB who ran multiple motion offense, called the play in the huddle, moved protections, and read the defenses.
Interesting.
Okay. I think that is an interesting take because he's not wrong. Look, Michigan ran more of an NFL style other teams we're looking at.
But also had a two-headed monster at the running back position.
And the most talent around them.
Mm.
And probably the best coaching.
Yeah.
So, and he did it, what, for 3 years? He wasn't like that. I get where this person's coming from because they're not alone. A lot of people are very high on J.J. McCarthy.
Which they should be. I mean, the kid is a talented quarterback. Okay. But I just don't think he's a quarterback for the Denver Broncos. Now, I may be wrong. I may be sitting back here saying, you know what? J.J. McCarthy is the best thing that ever happened to us. Okay? We don't know, Matt. We just don't know.
No, but we can all have our own evaluations. Here's another one. Penix is fragile.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no question. My concern with Michael Penix is just along the line with that texter. Look, you watch that national. I watched Michael Penix all year. I watched him last year. I watched him at Indiana. Yeah, he's had a ton of injuries. And is my biggest concern that he's going to take one bad hit in the NFL in his first game and be done for the rest of the year? Yeah, that is my concern. I'll just be real.
Okay, Matt, but look at this. The young man that's with the Colts.
Anthony Richardson.
Built like Cam Newton.
Yeah.
All it takes is one hit.
Sure.
These dudes are running 4.3s, 4.4s. They're 240 pounds, okay? It doesn't matter if you're J.J. McCarthy, okay, Michael Penix, or Cam Newton himself. At the quarterback position, everything, your ribs, everything is open when you're trying to sit there in the pocket, which that's what we're trying to find, a pocket passing quarterback, and make a throw. That leaves everything open. If somebody that's 300 pounds lands on you, it doesn't matter how built you are or how big you are. All it takes is somebody to land on you wrong, and those things pop. You go the wrong way, ankles pop. So it doesn't really matter to me. And Michael Penix Jr. is one that he's proven in 2 years that he's been able to stay healthy. Yeah. In the national championship, he got banged up. That was one of the times where, you know, he got a little rattled. But we haven't got to see that from J.J. McCarthy because guess what? They've been dominating teams. It's more like a Mac Jones situation where you're in Alabama, you're dominating everybody. You're out after the third quarter, you're out.
Yeah, I mean, he completed 10 passes in that national championship game. I think the lasting image, though, for me, for Michael Penix, is of the national championship game. And again, I've watched tons of Michael Penix, so my evaluation is not only there. But that Michigan defense was the most representative of what he would see at the NFL level, talent-wise. And he was walking off the field, gimpy, every time. And Phil, I'm just telling you the difference between Richardson and Penix. Richardson's a runner too. Penix isn't not that guy.
According to somebody, that he's not a pocket passer. Then what is he?
That's
do?
True. Well, he is a pocket passer. That person was wrong. So I mean, that's obvious. Look at his numbers in college. You tell me the guy isn't a pocket passer? No, that person most likely only watched the national championship game. Now I'll just say, I have the same concerns though, because I watched him walk off the field against Michigan.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked like he couldn't play for another 2 weeks if he had to. That is a huge concern of mine, which is exactly why I wouldn't take him the first round.
So J.J. McCarthy, what's different if he gets hit?
I'm not a J.J. McCarthy guy.
I'm just asking, like, anybody.
He's bigger. He doesn't have an injury history. Michael Penix has four. Hold on. You should know better than that. He's got four season-ending injuries. Four of them. Shoulders and knees.
Yeah, which is different if we were back in the days in the 80s. And today's
Quarterbacks don't get hit anymore.
In today's world, the surgeries are so good, Zach, that you come back better than you left off.
We should keep a counter. You know what? Over the next 2 days, will you keep a counter? I think we're at like four today. How many Zachs instead of Matts?
Or Matts.
Yeah. You got Zach. It's all right.
I forgot we traded Zach to New York.
I don't care. I just want a counter.
Free agency time. We traded Zach to New York.
Okay, so how about this one? This guy says, bleep it. Roll with Stidham for a year. Draft Spencer Rattler in the fourth round. Trade back from 12 to get a late first and a second this year. Focus on positional players. Rob from Kiowa. Well, first of all, thanks for listening. I am more along the lines of Rob's line of thinking here. Trade back, multiple starters, maybe look for a quarterback later in the draft. The problem is, Rob, I don't believe in Spencer Rattler. I don't believe in Michael Pratt. And beyond that, there's really nobody. So you probably have to lean towards a Penix, maybe second or third round. We'll see how many guys go off the board in the top 10.
If that's the case, then, Matt, they have a plan. What's their plan? Because they're probably not going to win a lot of games that, you know, this year doing something like that. Is their plan someone like Shedeur Sanders, where they're thinking ahead of this year? That'd be wild, because the only way you're trading back or you're going for someone like Spencer Rattler, because I don't see Spencer being this great quarterback, is you have a plan in mind and you're willing to bite the bullet with Stidham until you can get to that plan.
Another texter, Matt Smith, your dream may be coming true. The Broncos are purging the roster and building draft picks for Shedeur Sanders in 25. But I've been on record that I would put myself in the, I believe in him, so I would put myself in the best position there. Now, again, it's easy to say that for me sitting here behind a microphone, but you have to understand, you got to lose a bunch of games, you got to hope you finish worst, and you got to hope the team who finishes with the number one overall pick isn't looking for a quarterback,
for sure.
Which, guess what? They probably are. And if he is, as no doubt as I believe he will be, there's no way they're moving off it, similar to the Bears and Caleb Williams. I'm curious, where do you stand on Justin Fields? That's next.
Look, man, I went to go get my daily coffee, right? And we've been having some issues with the elevator, so I didn't want to risk.
This is the worst. This building has the worst elevator in the history of elevators.
I mean, I'm out of shape, man. I've still been working out.
But so it's just this, like three flights of stairs. It got you.
Three? It felt like 50. And there was a young lady that was helping us out, or helping me out.
So what happened?
So I went to go get my coffee, and I needed to try to get back up the stairs because I know the elevators were going to probably get stuck.
Right.
There was a lady that helped me get to the stairs because I didn't know where I was. So I get to the stairs.
Nice.
And I start running up them, and I just bust my butt. Go falling down the stairs. This lady's looking at me. Right? She's on the phone. You know she's not. She's trying to not laugh, but you know she's probably laughing right now.
I would have just laughed at you.
Yeah.
Because you didn't get hurt, clearly.
I'm beat up.
I'll tell you, though, I'm impressed, though. You didn't spill much of that coffee. Is it a scene in the stairwell? Do you need to send Richie in there with the mop to the stairwell?
There's no scene, man.
Okay.
You know, I'm that good. I'm that good.
Okay. You're that good, huh?
I'm that good.
Hey, you don't fumble, so I'm surprised that you fell at all.
Hey, I fall, but I just don't drop the bag.
There you go.
As you see.
The coffee is still
there.
It is intact. By the way, we are almost at the NCAA tournament here, my friend. Sunday is Selection Sunday.
Yep.
This is conference tournament week. CSU, they finished 7th in the Mountain West.
That's crazy to me, man.
Yeah, they definitely tailed off a little bit, but it's been a heck of a year in the Mountain West. There's a lot of good teams in the Mountain West. It's probably one of the best years for Mountain West basketball I've seen in a while.
There's only, about five or six teams that may be in there.
Yeah, we'll see. Around there for sure. And then the Pac-12 tournament, the final Pac-12 tournament, man. It's bittersweet to me.
What about our Buffs, man?
Hey, 6-game win streak, I think it is now. Yeah. They stacked a few together. Lesser competition, but needed it. They set a record for most regular season wins for CU.
Oh, Tad, man. What you thinking about Tad?
I am impressed that he was able to get things back on track. Because it was definitely a little shaky there, but full credit to them. And look, it is hard when 7 games this year you've been without 2 starters, and I think 17 games without at least 1 starter.
Yeah.
And one of them happens to be Cody Williams, who is supposed to be a top 5 pick in the draft. Although, we'll see on that one.
You know, there's a lot of people that are saying the exact same thing you're saying, Matt.
We'll see.
We'll see. I think for me, it comes down to, he's never available. Every time you look around, there's something wrong. Whether it's because of him, or it could be because, hey, he is going to get drafted high, and they don't want to get him injured, or his agent doesn't want him to get injured. I'm just putting it out there.
Mm-hmm. Interesting takeaway.
Interesting.
That's about all I'll say about that one, but that's fascinating that you got to that conclusion. I think there may be something to that. They do get in action, though. They finished 3rd in the Pac-12 in the final year in the Pac-12. I am just going to miss going to Vegas for the Pac-12 tournament, and I hope that the Big 12 tournament eventually moves to Vegas because it's a blast. And Pac-12 schools, man, Arizona, Arizona State, UCLA, USC, Oregon, you know, a lot of, you know, fun fan bases and, you know, whatever. I digress. that gets underway on I think they play on Thursday because they have the first round bye. And by the way, the Buffs have a great draw. They, I mean, a great
draw. What you thinking about it, though? Do you think that we have a chance to win it?
The Pac-12 tournament?
Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
Need to win it?
No, they don't. Okay. No. No, they per Joe Lunardi's latest bracketology, are one of the last four teams in the tournament. So, again, credit to Tad and Co. for righting the ship there. And hopefully, I think they'll probably have to win one game in Vegas to just solidify everything. Mm-hmm. But even still, I would imagine, even if they were to lose in the first round in Vegas, if Cody didn't play, the committee probably takes that under consideration. Because, look, I mean, they look at analytics, they look at injuries, they look at everything.
Yeah.
And I think when you match up the injuries with their performance, you don't want to use it as an excuse, but I think it's enough to get in the dance. So we'll see how it goes. Although, KJ Simpson was not named Pac-12 Player of the Year. That came out today. That went to Caleb Love of Arizona. KJ Simpson had a heck of a year.
He did. He came up big in a couple of games where it was just him. So... man.
Yeah, especially because Tristan Da Silva did not have a great start to this season.
He did.
No, lately, he's been playing much better, though, and that's a big reason why they started to win some games.
I just think as a group, like, the chemistry is starting to come along the more that they all play together, right? For the most part, everybody was either there was two there or one there, so you can never just get that chemistry down, and I think that they start to hit the stride at the right time and help Tad Boyle get to a situation where they're going to be in the tournament.
And on Sunday, man, we get to figure out where they are. I've been in Tad Boyle's house. I remember watching the Pittsburgh draw come down and everybody kind of looking around the room going, oh, really? Orlando? Pittsburgh? That's a physical team.
Now, KJ, I know you're on the girls' side, man. You really, you know, you're into the girls' sports and the basketball at this point, man. What about, I was going to say ours. Matt and ours, Lady Buffs, man. What you thinking about them?
They're for sure locked to be in the tournament. There's no doubt about it. The number one thing they're competing for right now is home court, at least in the first two rounds. They've gotten the help that they need. Iowa State beat Oklahoma in the Big 12 tournament, and Texas beat Kansas State. Those were the two teams that they were also competing with for a fourth seed. So, they got a few more things they need to shake out their way, but right now they're trending in the right direction to get home court.
Look at you. Look at you. Just on top of it. Oh, I know he is,
too. KJ's
on it. Just never ceases to amaze me. Just on top of it from Monday to Sunday, man. Look, it's that time of year again. We're filling out our brackets. This is going to be your first bracket challenge with the fan. How are you feeling? How have you perennially been with brackets?
I feel, you know what?
Can you be good at that?
Yeah.
I don't think you can be good at it.
You know, I keep telling myself I'm going to have a perfect bracket. And Zach gets annoyed at me saying that, but I'm going to continue to
keep
say
saying
it.
Saying that to him.
He gets mad. He's like, there's no such thing
there's
as
no
a perfect
bracket. There's no such thing as a perfect bracket, Phil.
I said, well, there's going to be one.
I know. There's going to be one. And it's sitting right across from you. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who picked the most games of them all? Look, the good news for all our listeners out there is they have a chance to win $5,000. If you have a winning bracket and you play in our bracket challenge, head to denversports.com/hoops to sign up for our 5K bracket challenge. Entry closes before the first game on March 21st. Drew, is that a Wednesday, the 21st? I think it is, right? Because that's the first day of the play-in games, or is that Tuesday?
I think the 21st is a Thursday.
Okay, so you've got up until the beginning of the first round. So not even the play-in games. So Selection Sunday is this week. It's on Sunday. So you've got up until next Thursday to enter to win $5,000 for the winning bracket.
Right. I might have to enter.
We might have to put some, the one thing I'll say, like for fan football pick'em, for our pick'em, you know, which by the way, excellent performance this year. Did you make a pick?
Hey, man.
Next year, you joined halfway, so I'll give you some grace. But next year, I want to see picks.
You were on a roll, man.
Yeah, I've won the last 2 years.
You know, I don't know what you're doing. You got the insider scoops.
I've got the crystal ball.
Okay, I'm gonna have to come find you, ask you a couple questions.
Phil, the one thing he's got that you don't is his password to get logged into the system to do it. Every Friday, Phil's like, Drew, what's my password to get into this thing? How do I make my picks?
They give me like a 50-word password.
Look at these guys just airing your dirty laundry here.
A 50-word password saying for me to remember that.
But to be fair, you can just go log into your account and change the password.
Yeah, you can.
But again, he joined halfway. Little grace, Lil Grace, year one rookie.
Drew's is mad because he can't be a part of it now.
Oh, that's right.
He
all
found
the producers
out that he
got shanghaied out
of
it. Yeah.
Yeah. Now he's upset.
But the problem is we don't do anything like end of the year. We do individual weeks, but I've won the bragging rights. But that, you know, we need a
little something different, right?
We need a little something.
You need
just
a little cheddar?
Maybe not. Maybe just a little something, though. But we'll see. Maybe we'll all get together and for the hosts here, we'll do something. Yeah. Yeah. What, KJ? KJ's upset he's not in it, too. Now I see how this is going. Now we got Drew complaining, and here's KJ coming in off the top rope. I get it. Okay. I'd be jealous, too. Hey, look, the Avs get back in action tonight up in Calgary. Somebody on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043, asked me what I'm looking for tonight.
Yeah.
And what am I looking for? This is the second game with all of the new additions into the lineup for the Avalanche. I'll tell you what I'm looking for right now. Eustis Onanen, he'll get the start, but it's also going to be Calgary's backup goaltender.
Mm.
I'm looking for a good effort on the road, number one. Here's what I'm looking for from Casey Mittelstadt. Are you driving the offensive zone and generating? Now, that's a tough thing because systemically, that's one of the things hockey-wise, X's and O's, how you generate the rush, how you break out of your own zone to start an attack. That's one of the things that probably changes a little bit from team to team. It's still hockey at the end of the day, but okay, well, where do we want it? Where do we want it coming up, the center of the ice? In Buffalo, the way he played was way different. So now he's got to adjust. And so we'll see how that goes. I'd like to see him generate.
But he has really good passes. He passes really well. I've heard around that he has some great touch.
He does. He's got great touch, and he's got great hands. And that's his best trait. So I'd like to see him. But the Avs need more than that.
Mm.
Like, when you go back and you look at Kadri, that's a pit bull, right? I mean, just an absolute pit bull. And I thought that Casey Mittelstadt did some things defensively, like Makar got caught out of position on one, pinching up the boards offensively, so somebody needed to be back defensively, and he bust his tail back and made a good defensive play. There are some good things I saw, but I'm also looking at, hey, how are they going to replace Logan O'Connor?
Mm.
And it may sound, you may roll your eyes in the car. Bottom six guy, you know, he's a depth
third,
piece.
Right, the third line?
No, he's really important. He's really important to this team. He's a glue guy, and you kind of keep losing guys from your cup team. Byram's now gone.
Yeah.
Now O'Connor's not going to be there the rest of the year. How does everybody mesh? So I'll be looking at how they do on the penalty kill. I'll be looking again at the power play. But I'll be most dialed in tonight to see how Mittelstadt skates and drives offense. Because if the Avs are going to win the cup, he's got to be a little bit more than what he's shown in his career.
Mm.
And I think that's why I'm a little bit down on the fit as of right now. Now, I'm not going to pass final judgment till we get about 10, 15 games.
You said 10 games, right?
Yeah.
10 games, I'm going to come back to you and say, all right, Matt, how are you feeling about things tonight? Now, Val, is Val going to have to move up in the lineup? Is Val staying there?
Great question.
Mittelstadt, I think that's going to kind of dictate how Casey does in this game here, because if he has someone like Val, everybody knows Val is the demon of power plays, right? And if you can have that person right there for Casey Mittelstadt to go to, it's different. But if Val has to move up in the line, you know, then it may be a little bit different than what we were expecting.
I love that you bring it up because Arturi Lehkonen missed practice, and it sounds like he's going to be out tonight. He's sick, and not like the sick Bo Byram was before they traded him to Buffalo.
You start hearing people say sick, you start getting scared. Trade deadline's gone, guys.
Lecky's out tonight. I imagine that means Val Nichushkin. It's either Nichushkin or Drouin will move up.
Yeah.
They have options. Actually, it might be Drouin who moves up to the top line tonight to keep Mittelstadt with Nichushkin.
Yes.
And then we'll see how they slot it all. Maybe Colton moves up, and then Trennan centers the third line. It becomes a little bit more complicated now without Logan O'Connor. That was a really key piece. But it also explained why they went out and traded for Brandon Duhaime,
a depth
forward.
Yeah.
He's going to play a lot more than I thought he was now. So we'll see how they balance out their lines tonight. That's a 7 o'clock puck drop in Calgary. Calgary is slowly trying to make a playoff push. I don't think they're going to end up getting there, have enough points to do so. But the Avs, as far as top three teams in their respective four divisions across the NHL, top three teams in the divisions make the playoffs. They have the worst road record out of any top three
team.
Which
is crazy, Matt, because last year they had one of the best.
The last 2 years.
Last 2 years.
And in the playoffs, they were 9-0. 9-0 on the road, 9-1. something like that, the year they won the cup.
Yeah.
This has been a perennially a really good road team. But I'll tell you something else. Getting out on the road with all these new pieces right now, because they've got a three-game Canadian road trip, by the way, against good teams. I mean, they're going to play Vancouver on this road trip. Calgary's not a bad team. And then they're playing Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers.
Yes, solid teams.
You know how the Nuggets have three matchups with the Timberwolves left to go? Well, the Avalanche have three matchups with Connor McDavid left to go in the regular season.
And
so
Connor McDavid is there, and the Timberwolves are missing a key piece.
Exactly. Ooh. Exactly. So we'll see. That's what I'm watching for tonight with the Avs. Let's see how Justus Onanen does, because he, of course, won the backup job. Let's see if Casey Mittelstadt can drive offense. And then Yakov Trenin and Brandon Duhaime, what do those guys continue to bring to the lineup? A little, you know, a little scrap, a little grit, a little sandpaper in the bottom six there. So I'll have my eyes on all that stuff, and that gets underway at 7 o'clock. We'll break all that down tomorrow.